Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of Five and Out. I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
After many weeks of Christmas and New Year's, the best of list, the worst of list,
MLK Day,
all these things, we are back to the regular grind. Mm-hmm. It's me, it's Wes. It's top five lists.
That's right. And you guys.
And you guys. We're so glad to be back in the in your company. Mm-hmm. And Wes, what is our top five this week?
Oh, this is so weird. Let me see if I can do it. We're doing the top five dream reboots. By the way, this was listener submitted by Michelle. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you.
And it's me. It's Wes. It's you guys. Let's curl up together. We've got a special long podcast to get back in your good graces. Let's start the show. So when I'm done here, making a trip over to the Target.
Oh, yeah?
Doing some fresh underwear.
Is the red underwear finally
the red underwear
up your
is
ass?
Fucking done, dude. The red, I mean, I don't even, I should just throw it away, them away.
Can I tell you an embarrassing story?
Yes, please
do. So I got that six pack of boxer briefs, right?
Yeah.
It's like all grays and blacks.
Yeah.
One pair of red underwear. I threw that shit away.
You should. It's just a little message from the devil.
That's
being like,
right.
By the way, I'm going to get your stuff all uncomfortable for you.
Yep.
But I think a couple of the other pairs. So I think I did the same thing. I had like a six pack or whatever.
Sure.
Obviously, the red ones are gone. You're down to a five pack.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like everything was going fine in the boxer brief world. And I think they kind of shrunk a little bit.
Yeah?
In the wash, maybe. I don't know. So
did your testicles finally drop?
They are at my ankles.
Well, you're almost 30. Wow, you are really almost 30.
I know. I'm like 2 weeks away from 30.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so old.
I am so old.
Oh no, Steve, what are you going
to
do?
You know, the biggest realization to me is we've talked about it before that 30 was like through your teens and early 20s. I'm like, when I'm 30, I'll have this great job and I'll do like I kept projecting this like that Steve, like some future person that I will like somehow just transform into this well-rounded, like
Steve, I have bad news. You have 2 weeks to do that.
I know. the timer, I've had it on for so long.
30 years almost.
About 30 years. I kind of zoned it out. And now I realize I'm 2 weeks away. And I'm like, oh, that dude I just thought would be ready for things at 30. It turns out it isn't that dude. It's me. It's this dude.
And for the listeners at home, Steve isn't ready for anything.
Zero things. I'm ready for nothing.
He's sitting here in a t-shirt and sweatpants, but your socks are matching.
Thank
which
you.
I
Thank
cannot
you.
Boast.
So I mean, I am almost 30. I've got a few. I got a few tricks up these old sleeves.
I got a few tricks up these boxer briefs, pant legs.
Yeah, I didn't finish my boxer brief thing. Hold on, that's
you,
way
you have
more
to do that. Yeah.
So, but I feel like I might have some shrinkage in the boxer briefs. Not within with myself,
uh-huh.
But with the briefs.
Sure.
So now I'm just not, and I'm in a constant state of discomfort because I feel like I'm having a little pinching action going on.
Oh my God!
And I want everyone to be free, but with confines.
Sure.
You know? I don't want to flop it everywhere, but I wanted to feel the air. You know?
Sure. Sure, man.
And so now I got to do an emergency boxer brief prep going on here.
Do you want to do it on air? I'll put the microphone right up next to your junk.
We're going to take a live field trip down the street to Target. Ladies and gentlemen, he is weighing, should he go grays and blues? Should he go multicolors? Yeah, man. I just, you know what I said? It's like, I've had enough.
Sure.
I've had enough of junk discomfort. I took a stand. I'm about to take a stand. I'm gonna fix it.
All right, man. That's a good.
That's
stand.
What a 30-year-old man does.
And that's a platform I'm running on in 2016. Junk comfort.
Yep. Junkfurt.
That's I'm not running on that one. I'm running on Junk Comfort.
Okay, well, then we will be on similar platforms, but different.
That's right. Vote Wes.
Vote Steve for Junkfurt. Actually, vote Steve Junkfurt.
Well, that's I didn't think we'd want to put out your real name out there.
Well, it is that time, friend.
Steve McJunkford.
It's from the old country. Yeah, man. So I'm almost 30.
Yeah.
Just not ready.
Drinking a PBR in your sweatpants.
Yep. Talking about Junkford. You know, what I always thought I'd be.
You know what? I listen to a lot of podcasts with a lot of comedians and actors out there, and I'm realizing that these comedians that, quote-unquote, have their lives together are almost 50 years old. Like, Rainn Wilson, for example, quote-unquote, has his life together. He's married with a 10-year-old son. He's 49. So that means he had his son when he was close to 40. So what I'm saying is, 40 is a new 30, and we all know that 30 is a new 20. So if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, 40 is a new 20.
Perfect.
Mathematically proven.
But you used the Pythagorean theorem on that, correct?
I didn't want to say that I did in case that I was wrong.
You know what? I've realized this, too, now that I'm coming up to the big 3-0.
You're wrong more often than you're right?
God, no.
Okay.
No.
Thank God.
No, I've never come to that realization. I've realized that I only kind of plotted my life, if you will, until 30.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because once I got to 30, I'm like, well, then I'll have a kid, and then, you know, you'll just be a dad and just suck. Like, I'll go on the occasional vacation.
Yeah.
And work.
Yeah, sure. Be a mid-level insurance salesman.
Yep. Like that. So now that I'm almost 230, I'm like, no, you know what? There is other stuff I want to do.
Like die.
I want to die someday. Hopefully that's still on the table.
Yeah.
No, there's like trips I want to go on. There's, you know, stuff I want to get. Sure, there's other stuff I want to do. But I realized my whole life, I'm like, yeah, and I'm going to graduate. And then, you know, in the late 20s, I want to try to travel a little bit. I want to... You know, fall in love, find my wife, eventually, you know, then I'll get to 30,
Sorry, I zoned out for a second. I thought you were still talking about what you wanted to do in your 30s. I was like, I finally want to fall in love.
No. That's in the 20s. That's in the plan for the 20s.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Got the wife. Mm-hmm. Check that. Mm-hmm. You know, kids, not too far off in the future, I think.
Trust me, I do check out your wife.
Check it out.
Yeah.
So, it's just, so now I'm like, oh, wait. Hopefully, I'm not even halfway through with my life, and there's a lot more stuff to do.
Yeah.
Hopefully, there's some cool things in there.
Sure. I mean, tax season's almost upon us.
Woo-hoo! It's given me a different window on things, I suppose.
Sure, man. Like, now that we're closing in on 30, we're just circling around it like a hunter around its prey.
Oh, I was thinking more like a poop going around the toilet.
Okay. More accurate. I'll give it to you. Now, you know, I feel like I myself am more grounded inside myself. It sounds like I'm having sex with myself. Yep. More grounded inside myself.
Want to give that one more go?
Nope.
Okay, good. Let's
We're
going to
stick with it.
All right.
I feel like I don't know. I feel like I'm more grounded as a person. I'm not so freaking nuts as I was when I was 20.
More comfortable in your own skin in that way.
Yeah. No, I like the imagery of me having sex with myself, Steve.
I think we all like that.
I'm going to keep that instead. What was my point?
That's a great question. I think you were trying to talk about somehow you're feeling a bit more mature and comfortable, but it didn't go that way.
No. I like how my point was I'm more mature, and it went immediately into fucking myself. Great.
Yeah, so you were saying.
Immediately preceded by poop going on the toilet bowl. This, man, my point is proven.
Absolutely.
Almost mathematically.
I mean, 30. That's where... That's where we've come alive.
But I think my point was we spent the past 10 years getting to this point, and now I feel like we're both solid, we're both more grounded. It's like, hey, now that we have, you know, we both have jobs. We both have all this money that we didn't have when we were 20. It's like, now we can spend it on shit that we want to do. Because remember, the mid-20s, at least I was freaking broke.
I recall. I remember when the very first time they announced the $5 footlong, and I was like, thank you, God. Thank you.
I used to
go. I can't believe it.
I shouldn't put this out there. I shouldn't put ideas in people's heads, but now I have to. I was so broke that I used to spend at least one meal a day. During the prime lunch rush, I would go to fast food restaurants, like a different one each day, and say that they got my order wrong so that I could get free food.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I was that broke.
Whoa! And I did not know that.
It usually worked. And if it didn't, I just drove away.
Sir, did you? I have to go. I'm a mature man. I am insulted. You would even runs away.
Well, look, it wasn't like I was going to starve or anything. It was like, you know what? I'm sick of having bread and peanut butter. I'm going to have a McDouble today.
I'm going to steal a McDouble. What a day. I'm going to steal $1.06 from a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
The best part was, it's like, hey, man, we're so sorry we screwed up your order. We threw in some extra fries for the inconvenience. I'm like, yeah, thank you.
As a single tear fell from your eye, like, thank you. Thank you so much.
So yeah, I was broke for a long time.
I will say I have not been that broke.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things, even in my brokest of broke, I have not done. I've not sold plasma. I know I have a friend that did that. And I have not stolen McDoubles under a false identity.
Yeah, this is Ralph McSchmitterschmidt.
I choose to believe that you also went up with this like elaborate costume, like a 1920s business person. Like, hello, I believe you have fouled my order, kind sir.
My mustache shies off to the side, like, oh, hold on.
You spend like $86 on this elaborate old costume, but it's to steal McDoubles.
Why do you think I was so broke?
Your costume budget was enormous.
That's, food budget, non-existent.
No, hey, you gotta pinch and pull from where you can, and food just wasn't the priority.
That's right.
Looking like a 1920s traveling salesman, it's where you needed to be.
But now, look at us, man. You're going to Jamaica here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Before, you were just chowing down on $5 footlongs.
No. I wasn't chowing down, sir.
Sorry.
Chowing down would imply that I could just like, oh yes, I hunger now. What was happening was carefully choosing my bites. It's like, well, if I eat a third of the 6-inch, also known as 2 inches, now, then I can eat 2 inches for a mid-afternoon snack, and then 2 inches for dinner and a handful of chips.
Excuse me, sandwich artist, can you cut the sandwich in half? It's already cut in half. Yes, I know. But could you cut those halves in half?
I was the guy that when I went to Subway, like, sir, I want the whatever the $5 chicken breast. It's like, okay, sir. And what do you want on there? I'm like, all of the vegetables. I'm sorry, sir. All of them. Dump out everything on that piece of bread and put it in a plastic bag. I'm taking all of it.
You know those apple slices you give to children? Throw some of those on there as well.
Put them in there. Toast the whole thing. Why? I don't know. Because I'm a 1920s businessman.
Don't ask me a question, sir.
Oh, we always toast our vegetables. Yeah, dude, I tried to get as much vegetation on there. Because I couldn't go buy vegetables.
No.
No, God, no.
God, you gotta spend your money on costumes.
Dude, monocles are expensive.
That's right. Wait, what were you spending your money on in college? Because you didn't drink in college.
No, I did not drink in college. Basically, my last year of college, My first years at school were fine. Like,
yeah,
student loans and, you know, and whatever.
You were paying student loans while you were in school?
Was I? No, I wasn't. No, they were all deferred, baby.
Oh, okay.
Is that free money?
You said that you're paying student loans your first years in college.
I had the money from the student loans when they came in, like, and I paced that out fine, and like, so I lived comfortably. I ate fine. I was not one of those dudes that, like, student loan checks here. Oh my God, I'm getting jewelry.
I see. When they send you the extra instead of billing you.
Right, So I had a little bit of extra and, you know, for living expenses and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I paced that out and it was fine. But my last year, I didn't get as much or whatever. The money just wasn't there. They're like, oh, it's your senior year, blah, 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 whatever. So I did not have that extra money. And I was like, oh, my God. So this is what everyone talks about as, like, college living, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
This is way shittier. Oh, so I spent my money on, like, nothing like elaborate, dude. It was just food and rent and books and, you know, like, what, just regular shit. There wasn't anything
PlayStation
cool.
2 games.
Oh no, sir, I had the PS3. I had actually beginning part of college was 2, latter part of college was 3.
I remember because we co-bought our very own PS2.
Yeah, because my PS2, we were in the middle of Devil May Cry 3,
mm-hmm.
and we were towards the end of the game, and my PS2 just said, enough.
That's right.
I cannot go on. I just cannot and will not go on. And we were in so close to the end of Devil May Cry 3 that we couldn't just stop.
No, God, no.
Because there were other games to play as well. We recently just played Bully at that time, and you loved it.
That's right.
Had stuff to do.
By the way, I did download Bully on this the PS Plus anniversary thing.
Awesome.
But I haven't played it yet, but anyway, back to the story.
No, and so we threw in the little bit of money that we had and bought a used PS2, and I think we paid like $100 for it or something.
Mm-hmm. $50 each.
And we're like, oh my God, this is a lot. $50, my sweet God.
Remember, you sold like 3 games.
Yeah, I was like, can I sell my roommate to you? Like, no, he has 0 trade-in value. It's like, damn it.
No, but he's really smart and he's a really good actor.
Nah. 0 value. I stand by. So then the worst part of it, to bore you with college story, but the best part of this, we got another almost to the end, no, like the very final battle of Devil May Cry 3, and we had such a hard time beating Virgil that Weston goes, fuck it, I'm leaving. And as soon as he left, literally the moment he stepped out of the room, I defeated him. And I watched the whole ending cinematic. I was like, hey, Wes. He's like, no!
Because seriously, we were at that for over an hour.
Oh, easily over an hour.
And my brain, it was getting that fuzzy, numb feeling that you get. Yeah, just open that beer right into the microphone if you could.
Well, I didn't. I turned the mic off.
Oh, well, you're clearly more professional at this than I am.
Yep. Well, I'm almost 30.
That's true. And I'm still 6 months away. But anyway, so I got that numb feeling where I just felt like I was just getting dumber when I was watching it.
I hate when you're in that mode of you're doing the same thing. Oh, like that checkpoint reloads the same exact spot. You're like, all right, I jump 2 times to the right to dodge this. Then I wait a second. I come back 2 spots left. And then now I got to figure out what to do because this part always effing kills me. So
and we know I'm dead again. Okay, starting over. Great. So we jump to the right. And then
and we wait. And then we go. Da-da-da.
And it was just, I just had to get out of there. I had to get out of there. I was going insane.
Obviously, it was your terrible mojo that was keeping us from defeating Virgil.
Clearly.
And all I needed was for you to go away.
Clearly.
That's it.
That PlayStation 2 did not appreciate his other dad.
No, it did not. Speaking of PlayStation real quick, I went on a little platty weekend last weekend, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
I plattied Shadow of Mordor. Mm-hmm. Which is a super fun game, by the way. It's been voted Game of the Year by several publications and websites. I don't know if I agree.
But what would you
put? But it was just kind of a shitty year for video games, so sure, let's give it to that.
What would you put in Game of the Year?
I don't even know, man. Honestly, I don't feel like I played many new games last year because a lot of them were pretty weak.
Sure.
Pretty weak. So I don't know. Fine. for time being, let's just say Shadow of Mordor. That's fine.
Sure.
But then that last weekend also Infamous First Light?
First Light.
First Light. That was the downloadable game for PS4 on PlayStation Plus this month. Platted it in a day and a half.
Yeah, I saw. I checked your trophy list. A day and 3 hours, it said.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
Short. Is it? Must it be?
It's a short game.
I don't know what I was trying to say. It must be.
It's a short game. It's pretty fun, though. But yeah, plowed through that thing, and I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Day platty. And I was like, well, I guess that's done.
So what are you playing now? What are you watching now?
Buddy, our good friend Mike, who was just on a few weeks ago, he gave me a couple of games from his store. He gave me Dead Rising 2, which is a game I've always wanted to play.
And he
gave me the original Infamous on PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And I played Dead Rising 2 last night. That game fucking blows.
Really?
It fucking blows.
Okay, what is the game that just came out? Is it Dead Rising 3?
No, Dead Island?
No, the one with like the chainsaw scythe. Have you seen this?
No, I've not seen this.
I think it's just on Xbox anyway.
Okay.
It's Dead Rising 3.
Dead Rising 2 has been out for maybe 4-ish years or so.
Okay.
And it just fucking sucks.
That's
I was really excited. I'm like, yeah, I just want to go through and like mash up some zombies and like it's just it feels old, it feels slow. I didn't even realize it was a Capcom game until I put it in and said, Capcom. It's like, oh, I'm going to hate this game. I just don't like Capcom. They have the shittiest dialogue and the worst cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that in every game, every one of their games.
That
so
sucks,
it's
man.
Just more of that. Like really bad loading times. Storyline's dumb. It's dumb. It's a dumb game. The trophies are bad. Don't care for it. But I played a little bit of Infamous, the first one. Cool. I'm going to play that some more. It's fun. And then I finally started watching Sherlock this last week. The BBC Sherlock. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize you had never seen it.
I know. See, that's the thing. It's on one of those like to watch lists that's been, you know, my queue in Netflix has been growing and growing. And like, we got to do this. There's only 9 episodes. You got to do this thing.
Just like your testicles and
just growing, tighter. So the wife and I, we watched the first 2 episodes last week or this week, and hopefully be getting done with that in the next couple weeks.
Awesome, man. Speaking of your 2 watch list, how's 6 Feet Under? Because I know you've been watching it every day.
Every day.
That's
30 seconds a day.
By the way, I am almost done with the 5th season of The Office.
That's great.
So I'm holding up my end of the bargain.
It's hard to not watch The Office.
That's
once
true.
You start. Although in season 5, so you're kind of in the doldrums of this of that show.
No, I love it. I love season 5 so far.
Is this the one with Robert California?
No.
Oh,
I don't think so. I don't. That does not ring a bell.
Has Michael Scott left?
No.
Okay. Then that's when it hits the skids a little bit.
Hits the skids.
Yeah, you never heard that before?
No.
Oh, that's a phrase.
Yeah, whenever I think of skid, I think of skid marks, and I think of underwear, and now we're back to getting you more underwear time. So
no, hits the skids is, sliding out of control a little bit there.
Okay.
But it's got to be soon.
Sure.
It has to be pretty soon. And Robert California is the boss they bring in to replace Michael Scott.
Is that his real name? His real character name?
Yeah, his character name.
Oh, no.
It's the dude that's on the blacklist and used to be in Boston Public.
James Spader.
James Spader. Yeah, James Spader is the dude.
I don't know who I was going to say. Stephen Dougherty.
What?
Yeah, he's my next door neighbor.
Yeah, so when that happens, it loses a little juice, but and then it rebounds strongly at the last season.
Hits the skids, loses juice.
How many more of these you want me to throw out there?
I mean, I'm still not quite understanding.
What else you need?
It fills
it
up the underwear.
It's kind of crappy.
It just pinches the underwear.
It tugs at your balls a little bit.
Just goes around the poop chute. What is happening right now?
You can't get off the poop thing.
I'm almost 30. I gotta get it out of my system.
You do, man. So you're watching The Office.
By the way, I love how the last 2 podcasts we were a little toned down with the poop shoot talk. with Mike and Colin. Now it's just us again. Let's bring on the poop shoot.
Bring on your poops. We will discuss your poops.
I'm watching The Office with my girlfriend, and did you hear that The X-Files might be coming back for like a limited miniseries?
Is it like a Netflix thing, or are they doing it on...
It might be on Fox.
Really?
Actually.
Duchovny and Gillian Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So I am watching the last two seasons of The X-Files, which I have never seen.
Oh, okay.
And
really? Wes the Completionist?
Yeah, Wes the Completionist finally completing The X-Files.
Interesting.
Because after season 7, I mean, this is not a spoiler, everyone knows this, David Duchovny leaves The X-Files.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I just stopped watching it there. Because,
sure. Well, it was kind of over anyway.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Sure.
But then, like, Gillian Anderson was on The Nerdist, and she had, like, a super fun interview.
She's super hot, man.
She really is.
She's really hot.
And she was talking about those last two seasons, and Robert Patrick was on The Nerdist a few months ago, and he was talking about those last two
seasons. You mean the T-1000?
Yes, right.
Say his real name.
Sorry, the T-1000 was talking about it. And so, like, if you don't know, he replaced Mulder as, like, the show's male lead.
As a murderous robot.
As a murderous... Funny story, there is an episode with a metal man who's murdering people.
Yeah, it's the T-1000. I'm very familiar.
It's every episode. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
It's my darkest, deepest fear. I'm very aware of it.
So I'm watching those, and, like, they're fine. But the science is kind of gone. Like, that's what made the X-Files so great. Because, like there's all this crazy stuff happening, but they always had some kind of scientific explanation for it, even if it was a little quote-unquote out there. But there's this, like, the second episode of the season, they were fighting this man bat. The man bat was this
man bat.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
this bat sized or sorry this man sized bat. It was okay. A bat sized man. It's like completely different.
I'm gonna kill you. Shut up.
Just it's squish. And so they're fighting this man sized bat, and the science is this one hermit dude was like, you know, that humans and apes are next to each other, like, DNA wise. By the way, I'm saying these lines verbatim.
Yeah, okay. I see you reading the script. Yeah,
they're really close to each other as far as DNA goes. Well, people don't know that bats and humans are just as close to each other DNA-wise. That's not true at all!
That's not how this works.
Look at a bat and look at a human.
For one has wings, for God's sakes.
So yeah, the science isn't really there, and so, but it's fine. I'm gonna finish it, but it's fine.
You know, I kind of equate Gillian Anderson, just looks wise, Gillian Anderson and Julianne Moore very okay. closely as like really attractive. I've always looked at them as like older women, but they've looked like they're the same age.
Older
my
women.
Whole life. Gillian Anderson and Julianne Moore have looked like they're 37
mm-hmm.
since I've been 15 years old.
Because
mm-hmm. Julianne Moore just won a Golden Globe. And I was like, God, Julianne Moore. Yes. Yes. Still.
Keep
yes.
working it.
God, yes.
Whew.
Like, totally your friend's hot mom.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been for 15 years.
Have you seen Gillian Anderson on The Fall?
On the what?
The Fall.
No.
Which is a BBB series. BBC series on Netflix.
No.
I think I'm going to check that out in all between right. seasons of The X-Files.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So I'm watching X-Files, and it's all right. And watching The Office, playing Saints Row 4, about to beat it. After Saints Row 4, don't know what I'm going to move to. I have a lot of choices.
You do.
Kind of sick of open world games, though, yeah. So probably going to stick with something a little bit more linear. But yeah, man. That's about it. All right, so before we move into this week's top five, we had a bunch of emails written in from last week's top five, which was, again, the worst of 2014.
Absolutely. One of my favorite lists to do.
That's right. Steve, your face. I have never seen you look happy.
Like, you know what sucks?
Which, by the way, I wanna. Last week's top five was kind of weird for me. Because normally I feel like we're very good about keeping serious things lighthearted. I've talked about a few serious things in my top five that I got heated.
Yeah.
Where I was listening to it again. I was like, wow, Wes, calm the F down.
Yeah, you and Gary Busey. It just gets you.
I mean.
Gets your blood pumping.
I mean, did you hear the Amazon Kindle commercial I put in? It was great. It was weird. But anyway, let's get back into the worst of 2014. Our good friend Stephen Lara writes
The other Stephen.
His number five, worst of 2014. His number five was people's hatred of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
sir.
Oh, Stephen Lara.
He says people are acting like that movie is the worst superhero movie out there, but really it's just mediocre at best. Personally, he loves it. There are worse superhero movies out there that are worse than that movie.
I do not argue that it is not the worst superhero movie. I don't even argue it's not even the worst Spider-Man movie.
Oh, you put Spider-Man 3 below that one.
Definitely Spider-Man 3 below it.
Okay.
The reason it is on my list is because when Spider-Man 3 came out, there was not this world of excellent superhero movies mm-hmm. that we have now been treated to with Batman over the last few years, and obviously with what the Avengers world is doing. So to have the Spider-Man thing set up on a pretty good tee after The Amazing Spider-Man 1 mm-hmm. and then just hit into a triple play in the second one. True, it is not the worst one. That's not even the worst Spider-Man, not the worst superhero movie. Mm-hmm. They had a real opportunity to do some good things.
Sure.
And they said, meh, fuck it.
Let's slice it into the lake.
Yeah, like they made the same mistakes they made in Spider-Man 3, mm-hmm. but they're doing it in the second movie. So... No, Stephen Lara, I disagree.
Oh.
I disagree.
Oh, my goodness. Well, his number four, I personally have never seen Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, so I cannot weigh in on this debate.
Then shut up.
Great. His number four is all about that bass, about that bass, about that bass. No trouble.
The song by Meghan Trainor?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. He says, it's a bad song, but the fucking hook is stuck in my head. Get it out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep. His number three is getting robbed at gunpoint. Not only did he get a gun pointed at him and got his stuff robbed, but he had to spend a weekend opening a new bank account, getting a new phone, replacing his social security card, my state ID.
That sucks.
That really sucks.
You know what, Steve? I disagree.
I disagree, sir.
Because I robbed you.
And I've been robbed at gunpoint, and it was not a terrible experience.
thank you, 1920s businessman. Dude, Steven, that sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
It really sucks, man. But I think Steve's going to stick by his hatred of Spider-Man 2.
You know, no matter, I don't care how many times you get robbed, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 still sucks.
But his number two is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, purposely steered away from that.
Yeah, his number one is Tusk from Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah, with Harry Potter, right?
Justin Long.
No. Wait. Justin Long. What's the one with...
Horns.
Horns, that's it. Or something like that. Yeah.
So many bodily appendages out there.
Tusk. I don't think I know Tusk.
Tusk? It's the one where it's a horror movie about how this crazy guy turns another dude into a walrus.
Okie dokie.
You've never heard of this?
I don't think so.
Oh, dude, we gotta watch the trailer.
Oh, boy. I'm thrilled. But especially since it's other Steven's most hated thing of 2004. Can't wait.
Can't wait. Well, let's move on to someone else's top five. Let's move on to Brian Kersey's top five worst of 2014.
What you got, Brian? What you got?
His number five is The Nut Job, starring Will Arnett.
Yeah, heard nothing but bad things.
Nothing but terrible things.
And that's that animated movie about squirrels.
Yeah, and testicles. I can't resist making a testicle joke.
You are on a roll, man.
I really am. His number four is Rising Star, which is...
Oh, it's that CBS show. It's like an American Idol thing, but there's this giant rising wall of TVs or whatever, and the United States people, the American people, vote whether he should pass on or not.
Dude, I don't... Just you describing that made me want to take a nap. I just don't care.
Well... Thank you for waking back up. Yeah. Let's move on to number three.
Okay, his number three is Kim Kardashian.
Oh, you mean you're number three celebrity to bone this year?
That's correct. His reasoning is when she wasn't getting married to another crummy human being, having his devil spawn, and naming that child something stupid, Northwest, she was trying to break the internet. How does she plan to do this? By releasing racy pics. Chick got famous by a sex tape. I think we've seen all there is to see already. Very well put.
I was going to say, that's it, bud. That's how you do it.
I think maybe you should run next to Steve and I for 2016.
If it's just based on speaking truth about Kim Kardashian, then he will lose because people want to love her for some reason.
I don't know why, but I don't think we're going to solve this here.
Well, let's try. Kim, if you're out there, give us a call. We'll tell you why you are terrible.
That's right.
So we're waiting for your call.
His number two is TV cancellations. He is a big TV nerd, and several good shows are canned this year, including Selfie, A to Z, Witches of East End, Intelligence, and Nikita, with shows like Two Broke Girls and Big Bang Theory still going stronger each day. It both puzzles and saddens him why good shows would get canned.
Man, I have seen cumulatively about 3.5 minutes of Two Broke Girls, and I cannot stand that show.
Really?
It is horrible.
Isn't that the one with Kat Dennings?
And she has amazing boobs. She has great cans. And the other girl is good looking.
Yeah.
And it's still horrible.
Wait, are you telling me that two really good looking girls, one with amazing boobs, cannot produce a good show?
Yep.
Okay.
At least in this particular instance.
Got it.
I'm not saying they can't do it going forward.
Sure.
I'm saying this particular instance is horrible.
Right. I should have said, these two girls does not a good show make. So that's what I should have said.
Thank you, God. Yeah. Idiot. And his number one?
His number one is the interview fiasco. Sony hack.
So, okay. The way that Sony handled that business going on.
And the whole thing. Fucking thing.
Speaking of that, by the way, from what I read today, Netflix is going to stream The Interview starting this weekend, I believe.
Only in North Korea.
God, North Korea is the saddest place in the world.
Don't say that. They might release our information.
This is just a very quick little glimpse.
North Korea, look the other direction. Look over there.
Do you know what North Korea is actually like?
No.
So, this is just a tiny little PSA. You should, for those who are not aware of what North Korea is like, I think it's like 20% of their population are currently in like prison camps.
Oh, no.
Like forced labor camps for that country. It is the most bizarre place in the world. They have the downtown shopping mall that they show the rest of the world. Oh, look at our fancy goods. Nothing is for sale in that department store because it's only for show. It is the most horrific, awful place in the world. So because I've watched enough documentaries and things about North Korea to at least I feel I have some loose handle on what it's like there. It is the worst place that is remotely close to between two completely civilized nations. It's unreal.
Wow, man, I had no idea that was that bad.
It's terrible there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so sorry, people of North Korea, and a big fuck you to the establishment of North Korea.
Big words.
Big, yeah, because I'm the only one that said it. But anyway, so I'm excited to actually watch this movie that's actually not supposed to be that good, but I'm glad that they are releasing it, or they have released it, and that is being released in multiple media outlets.
Let me ask you, would you have seen this movie if it hadn't have gone through this BS?
I probably would have Redboxed it or watched it on Netflix. I wouldn't have gone to the theater for it.
Sure. Just seeing the trailers, knowing what it's about, it does not interest me at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's I'm not watching it because I think it's going to be a good movie, an excellent movie. And I'm also not watching it because of the fallout of it. I'm watching it because there's a chance I could laugh a couple times and it's okay, fine. Mm-hmm. It's a movie I watched. Fine. I'll watch it for free on my couch. I'll do it.
Sir, enough bullshit about these last couple of weeks.
Finally.
We live in the present, so let's live in the present. Tell me, what is the present top five?
The present top five is our top five things we want to see rebooted.
That's correct. This was written in by Michelle, by the way.
Ah, Michelle.
Oh, Michelle.
No. Michelle, do you have a McDouble? You seem to have made an error in my order. Michelle's like, I remember you.
Oh, my. It was you.
This list, surprisingly difficult.
Really?
Yeah, because it is things you want rebooted. It's not sequels you want, and everything has been rebooted.
I know, because one of mine was going to be The X-Files, but it's getting a little sequel action.
Yeah, kinda. So it's because we live in the Hollywood now that frowns upon original ideas, and they just want to rehash everything. That's why it is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start.
Okay.
This is not my number five because I know it's not going to be on your list and it's not that fun for anyone else. I just want to put it out there because this is truly very high on my list. And I want college basketball video games to come back.
That's my number one.
Damn! I loved college, like NCAA college basketball video games. It's so great. Just great, great games. They haven't been around since 2008, I think, was the last year.
Really?
So it's been 7 years, and it sucks.
Steve, answer me this. How is it different than, say, NBA games?
I will tell you how it is different very quickly. When you're playing professional sports games like Madden and NBA 2K or whatever, you know the, like, LeBron James and the, you know, Aaron Rodgers. You know the real stars in the real games.
Mm-hmm.
And after a few seasons, these fake dudes come in, like the dudes that the computer drafts and whatever.
Sure.
So all of a sudden, it's like Steve Frumpert is is your starting quarterback, and he's awesome. And you're like, how the hell is Steve Frumpert better than Peyton Manning or whatever, or a very, very good quarterback? And it feels like you're not playing in the NFL / NBA anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the way college works is every single year there's always new freshmen. There's always the turnover by nature of college sports is much, much faster.
Mm-hmm.
The longest you can possibly be there is 4 years. That's just by definition.
Yeah.
The longest they can be there. So you're always getting like the young new recruit, and it doesn't matter that they haven't, that it's a made up dude. Because in college sports, it's always some random dude. You don't know any of these high school players. It's always random dude.
You see him, it's like, that's not his real name.
In the easiest way to put it, in college, it's about the team that you are, and like you're coaching this team, and that's how like your identity in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're playing in with like pro sports games, you're playing with the stars of the game, and then those stars eventually change and become different things you're not familiar with, and it doesn't feel the same.
Like mutants?
Yeah, kind of like you're playing like Mutant League football at the end there. So the college game just, it feels better, and like you're actually more in control of the game.
Thank you. You made a huge dummy like me understand college sports.
Great.
And about how college is 4 years.
Glad you figured that out finally.
Thank you.
So hopefully you can graduate this year. But anyway, that's not my actual, that was supposed to be just a quick honorable mention. But my real number five, this sounds kind of ridiculous off the bat.
Oh boy.
It's The Terminator.
Okay. No,
I'm not talking about a sequel. I'm talking about saying, hey guys, we gave that thing a run, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We sure did. We're starting this whole thing over again, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is not a part of it.
Finish what you were going to say.
No, I mean, that's the basic. I mean, I don't know if it's going to. You know what? Just, it doesn't even have to deal with the Connor family. I kind of feel like Terminator Salvation said, like, we've obviously screwed this whole thing up.
What if it dealt with the O'Connor family? Just set in Ireland.
I love the premise of The Terminator is great, but they nailed it, just hit it out of the park on the first two. And now we've had a couple really subpar sequels, and as much as I would love to love the new, Genesis, is that what it's called? The next one coming out?
Oh, I actually don't know.
There's a new one coming out with Emilia Clarke as young Sarah Connor, but And from what I understand, the Sarah Connor Chronicles on TV was very good.
Yeah.
I love the premise of Terminator. I feel like we've been lost some. We lost what we loved about the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally down with saying, you know what? Let's give this a little bit of just a slightly different spin. You know what? It can even be the same exact spin, just with new people redoing the first one. That's fine. Let's stay on a path that makes sense. And let's do it.
Who would you cast as a Terminator?
As a current Terminator? You know who I might cast? Batista.
I was thinking Batista.
He was so great in Guardians of the Galaxy, especially with that kind of dry sensibility to him.
Yeah.
I might do Batista.
I was thinking The Rock as one, maybe the good Terminator, because he's got some charm to him, and Batista as the bad one.
Sure.
Because he's just got that evil, angular look to him.
Yeah. I just feel like we've gotten too far away from the really good stuff of the Terminator, and we've gotten too confused and muddled with the time traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I love those movies, the first two. If we can get back there, kind of clean that slate, I'd be okay with it.
Sure. I think this new one is actually trying to serve as its own reboot, which is kind of cool.
I think it kind of is too, and honestly, I would consider this a reboot, and I would take it off my list if there were no Arnold Schwarzenegger, or even CGI Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's right. There is going to be one of those, isn't
there? I think you have to remove Arnold from the equation.
Because
I don't. I just don't like looking at CGI Arnolds.
Sure.
I don't like it. So The Terminator is kind of a strange pick, but I love those movies, and I buy into that world. And I feel like we've never really done the Judgment Day part of the Terminator, because I know obviously they're trying to prevent Judgment Day from happening. But that's always been a very, very visual part of films as a child, seeing that bomb go off in T2 and like the kids on the playground equipment and stuff.
Oof.
Like something that goes in that area would be great. So,
well, my number five is The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Okay.
Because this is one of those picks where I saw the movie, and the movie had such a great premise. And by the way, I've never read the comic series. I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I've never read it. But just seeing the movie as it is, like, it has such a great premise. You have Captain Nemo. You have the Invisible Man. You have Dorian Gray. I don't even know if he's in the comics or not. But you have all these famous characters and people throughout history, and they're all thrown in together to fight one big bad. It's like, that's an awesome idea.
It's a great idea.
It's great. How could you mess that up?
Well, I'll show you.
Well, that's how you do it. So yeah, I want to see that rebooted. Probably, and let's take one of the greatest storylines from the comics. I don't know what that would be.
Sure.
But take one of those storylines and then put it on the big screen.
Cool.
That's what I want.
That's a really nice pick. I like that.
Thank you. And then throw in Sean Connery as every role, because, well, I mean, come on. He brings the goods.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so that takes me to number four.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a series that has lost its way, I think. Another aging action superstar. And I'm going to go with Rambo.
Okay.
Have you ever seen First Blood?
I've seen part of it.
Okay, you need to watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The original Rambo is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great movie. It is not this big blockbuster action film. It is about a Vietnam vet returning home to a town that doesn't want him, and they show him that by like arresting him and beating him up and basically like kind of snapping him, and they try to hunt him down in the woods. And he is not one to be hunted down, friends. He does the hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this kind of gritty, great, you know, this great action movie, but it's an action movie with purpose and heart to it. It's not just like, and then we're going to blow shit up. Okay. That's what The Expendables is.
Like, yeah.
Which is fun for what it is, but First Blood is not that. So I don't know if you necessarily need to make it, you know, like a, you know, an army member from Afghanistan comes back to find a town that has shunned him. I don't know if that's necessarily what it needs to be, but I feel like you, I, as we've talked about, I love military movies, you know, war movies. And this is, it's not a war movie, but it has war-like elements to it. So to take that in a modern setting, but keep it in that realistic realm and just kind of, you know, update visuals and, you know, give the story a little more depth to it, modernize it slightly. I think that would be, I think it'd go over fairly well. And if nothing else, I would go see it.
Sure.
So, and of course, you'd probably just cast Bradley Cooper in it because that's just what we do now.
The new Rambo made $12 at the box office. One idiot came to see it.
I thought it was pretty good. No, and again, this is, I would be very, I mean, there's, right after First Blood, it then became the, like, the prototype action movie going forward where it's like, John Rambo, you're the only one in the world that can take down this ridiculous villain with your awesome war skills. But I don't fight anymore. I've given up that life and I'm a peaceful man. Well, too fucking bad, John. Like, that's what the other movies became. Mm-hmm. So if you do First Blood right and get a good young, like, action leading man, but like good actor, like, you can take him along this more real path over the next couple of films.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even, you know, go back to like some of the things he faced, whether it would be in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever the hell you want to do with it, and not be like, now I'm going to ride a camel against a tank. Like, you could keep it on what made First Blood so successful. You could kind of stay on that path. And I think that'd be pretty cool.
Cool. Did you see the newest Rambo with Julie Benz?
No, and it's a ridiculous reason. Not ridiculous. There's a long story short. The reason I didn't, that movie came out when I was on the East Coast for a summer doing some theater.
Some theater.
And a friend and I made out there. We joked about how ridiculous that movie was, and we promised that we were going to see that movie together. The movie came out after I left the East Coast for that summer, and I refused to watch that movie with anybody else but Sam, who I met that.
Has Sam watched the movie without
you?
He
has not.
Oh.
I saw him. He lives in New York now.
Okay.
And I saw him maybe about a year and a half ago for the first time in like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, by the way, I have not watched Rambo because I've not watched it with you. He's like, I too have not watched Rambo because I don't want to.
Well, this is adorable. This is like a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah, it is. So eventually I'm going to find my true love, my friend Sam from New York. And I'm going to run to him in like a rainstorm, and we're each going to hold up like a Blu-ray of Rambo. I'm like, Sam, finally, we can be together and watch this movie.
Nicholas Sparks' new film, Rambo in the Rain.
So my number four is Rambo First Blood.
All right. Well, my number four is a TV show that you probably never heard of. It's called Point Pleasant.
No.
This was on, I think, when we were still in college. I think when I was still in the dorms. And it was this such an, again, another thing with such a great premise. Basically, this young teenage girl washes up on the beach with no idea who she is, no idea where she's from. And throughout the series, you realize that she's the Antichrist.
Oh!
Yeah! And, like, her presence affects the people around her, like, Little jealousies turn into bitter rivalries, little desires turn into burning needs to have, you know.
Sure.
The show kind of
is there anyone in the show that name wise that
there is one that guy, but he's so much of that guy that
sure.
even I don't know his name.
Sure, sure.
So but and it kind of focused on, is she gonna turn good or is she gonna turn evil? And it was such an interesting premise, but that was so soap opera-y that the ratings just plummeted so fast because nobody wants to see the Antichrist and wonder, oh, will she or won't she wind up with the high school dreamboat? She's the Antichrist!
Next up, the rose ceremony.
Oh, I hope the daughter of Satan gets to be the prom queen.
What channel was this on?
Fox.
Oh.
This is back when Fox was canceling shows almost immediately.
Yeah.
So...
3 minutes into an episode.
Like, we're sorry. We're not airing the rest of this episode.
Please watch a Simpsons rerun. Great. Thanks, Fox.
So I really want that to be rebooted because it's such a great idea.
How many seasons did they go?
It went for 13 episodes.
Oh,
they didn't even air them all.
That sounds like something Netflix would get their hands on and
sure.
do some work with.
But I think it was just, I remember there was a lot of promotional material for it, and then it aired, and like there was no promotional material for it.
Wah, wah.
And it's like Fox is kind of ashamed of it. Like we kind of have this show, but we don't really like it.
But no,
it.
I mean, but it's gonna go away.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm gonna get it removed. It's fine.
So yeah, I really want to see that show rebooted.
What is it called again?
Point Pleasant.
Point Pleasant. All right. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
It certainly does sound cool.
So this, my number three, was just rebooted. Let me tell you what it needs. A reboot of the reboot. RoboCop is my number three.
Got it.
We talked about this several times, but as soon as I found out the most recent RoboCop was going to be PG-13, I think the world collectively said, no. So I Redboxed it, and I said, no. But I would go, yes, if they made a rated R RoboCop. Basically did what I want to see. Is like what they did with Dread.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lower budget. We're not doing the major release. We have a decent budget, and we're gonna make this the way it should be made. They don't want to back us. Fine, we'll do what we need to do. We'll do it however we can.
Mm-hmm.
RoboCop needs to be ultra violent. Mm-hmm. RoboCop needs to be stiff.
Yeah.
Dude cannot be Raiden from Metal Gear Solid jumping around throwing motorcycles at people. That's not how it works, dude.
Mm-hmm.
RoboCop is a walking tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to be as such.
Mm-hmm.
But they can upgrade the enemies. They can, like, in a more modern, cool shot world, absolutely. Cinematography, like, cool, absolutely, dude. RoboCop is supposed to be an 80s robot. Like, he is not supposed to be a modern, like, android-ish thing.
Mm-hmm.
No. And people need to explode. There needs to be, like, lava around and, like, radioactive ooze and shotguns to the face.
So basically the end of Resident Evil 5?
Yes. Yes. A volcano.
It needs to end in a volcano.
No volcanoes. Although Detroit would probably be better served if it were a volcano.
Ooh, Detroit slam.
Burn! Volcano burn! So I want them to reboot RoboCop. I'd be so in on it if they did it right. Which they have not done. So I want the thing they just rebooted to be rebooted.
All right. Well, my number three, let me just tell you. My number three is Earthworm Jim.
Yeah!
Right?
Yes.
Have you heard of Earthworm Jim since Super Nintendo?
No.
Fuck no. Let's reboot. I'm sorry. That was an unnecessary F word.
You mean completely necessary?
That's exactly what I
All
meant.
All right.
Let's reboot Earthworm Jim. And
yeah.
Let's get the guys behind Saints Row to do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Your mind's going. Your mind's whirring.
Is this... Well, I mean, so the original Earthworm Jim is a side-scrolling 2D
platformer.
Kind of platformer, yeah. Shooter platformer thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, are you going to make this like an indie game in the similar vein? Or are you going to go like open world Earth Gym?
See,
Earthworm Gym, excuse me?
Open world Earth Gym.
Open world Gym, Earther.
I don't know. At first I was like, oh yeah, Earthworm Gym in the open world. But then I was like, well, how would that work? Because he jumps from planet to planet, doesn't
yeah.
he? So maybe this. I just want the Saints Row type of humor. Or the
yeah.
guys like that who understand like
right.
humor like that. Maybe make just a linear, maybe like adventure game, like
okay,
like maybe in the I'm just spitballing here. Maybe in the lines of Mario 64, where you can go from world to world. There's a central hub world or something like that,
but still in a 3D world.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What do you think?
Ah, man. Because didn't Earthworm Jim? It's been a long time since I played Earthworm Jim.
Mm-hmm.
He did have some ridiculous weapons, right?
Yeah. He had, like, a cow launcher?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I would go maybe, yeah, like, third-person, over-the-shoulder camera, kind of like Mario 64. But there would definitely be levels where you would basically kind of, like, transport back into 2D Jim.
Sure.
Sort of thing. Like, it'd be open world for, like, some levels, maybe, like, 2D side-scrolling kind of deal for a couple other levels.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's a game that had such a great sense of humor and kind of before its time in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. What was his nemesis? Psychro?
It's been too long, man.
Been too long. I know he had a bunch of them. He had Psychro, Evil the Cat.
Because there was an Earthworm Jim 2, right?
I think so. I don't think I played it, though.
It did not live up to expectations of the one.
No.
You know, now that I don't think this is on your list either, what came out right around that time, which might be a fun modern day twist as well, is if you went with an Odd World, Abe.
Yeah.
There was Abe's Adventure, Abe's Exodus.
Didn't they just release a re-release or?
Did they recently?
I think like not a reboot, but they remade it for like the PS. Plus or something like that? No, PS Plus. The PS Store?
I don't know. I'm sure they probably remastered. Not remastered, just ported it.
Remastered. That's what the word I was looking for.
I remember when I played Oddworld, when it first came out. It was right around the Earthworm Jim time. I remember playing it as however old I was, say 10 years old, whatever. I remember being like, oh, I don't get this game. This game is not for me. Maybe later.
Sure.
And I feel like it's the game I would play now and be like, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, Oddworld.
There is something up there in the PS store, so check it out. Maybe, right.
Maybe it's that, maybe I've 30, was that, when I was 10, I was like, oh, 30-year-old Steve, he'll get it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's beyond talking about poop swirling down the toilet and underwear jokes. He'll get it.
Little does 10-year-old Steve know.
He's the same dude, but taller.
So, yeah, man, that's my number three, Earthworm Jim, preferably okay. with the guys behind Saints Row to do it.
Okay, cool. Good mm-hmm. pick. Good pick.
Thank you.
All right, brings me up to my number dos. I want Resident Evil, the film series, rebooted.
Oh, yeah.
I want them because Resident Evil, the games, the first three of the first four games
mm-hmm.
are survival horror games.
Yes.
They're scary. It is this feeling of, you know, you against this overwhelming force, as zombie movies are supposed to be. And then you go and watch the Resident Evil movie. And all of a sudden, there's some, like, super soldier chick that knows kung fu and gunplay and...
Yeah, Mia Jovovich is playing Raiden from Metal Gear Solid.
It's a mashup! It's essentially what it is, though.
Yeah.
She's this, like, unstoppable killing machine in this scantily clad facade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not at all what the game, what the, like, the central premise of Resident Evil is.
Sorry, I just want to point out, doesn't she actually become a cyber ninja at some point?
I don't know. I've seen the first one and maybe part of the second one.
Okay. I think she does. But anyway, back to your point.
I don't know. She's doing, like, backflips off walls and shooting dudes coming out of, like, ceilings and all sorts of
kicking dogs in the face.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff, dude. Mm-hmm. That's not... Ask anybody who played the original Resident Evil, when that game came out, are you some sort of... No, nothing about you is super. Nothing about you is super. You are barely holding on to life.
Mm-hmm.
Barely. You're rubbing herbs on yourself to be like, oh, God, heal me, please. There are horrifying, half-rotted dogs jumping through windows and making me poop in my pants. Please get me out of here. It is not, oh, a dog. Let me flip off the wall, like, you know, write my memoirs before I land, and then kick the dog to the moon. None of that bullshit. So I want them to go back and reboot the movies much more in the vein of the games of this horror, like survival horror, like in a more classic kind of zombie movie sense,
mm-hmm.
but where it's these, you know, a couple of cops that are in this, like, that are, they have a gun, yeah, but they are not prepared for what they're going to face.
Sure, sure. They maybe have an extra clip of bullets.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
They don't have Tommy guns with infinite ammo.
No, because that game was
apparently from the 1920s. By the way,
you're channeling the 20s hard today.
Ah, yeah.
Do you have a McDouble for me? Otherwise, I'll unload 90 rounds in you copper. It's like, what the hell are you talking about, dude?
All right, ta-ta.
Hey, I think this guy's trying to scam us for a McDouble. But yeah,
I gotta go back to my jalopy.
Take Miguel out to the talkies. And all of a sudden you have a big cigar for some reason. But
what do you mean I can't smoke this in here?
You're taking away my rights. So I want Resident Evil to be the real Resident Evil as a film.
Sure. All right. Well, my number two was actually just rebooted this past year. I want a reboot of the reboot. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I did not see this previous film. I did not want to see this previous film.
Not going
to
do it.
I've heard nothing but terrible things about this previous film.
Yeah.
I want to see... See, here's the thing. I know I just have a lot of nostalgic love.
Sure.
When I was a child. Like, what was your favorite toy? Like those G.I. Joes as a child? Or
no, I was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle dude as
you
well,
were?
Dude. Yeah, I mean, my favorite toy probably was just Legos, period.
Fair enough, fair enough. But I had all those stupid little... action figures.
They're
I had the normal
stupid.
Ones.
Stupid.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
Some of them were.
Some were kind of stupid. I had a hockey player Leonardo.
Same here.
Okay.
I had the Surf Turtles.
Yeah, they're kind of stupid.
Really stupid.
Okay. So to be fair, some of them are stupid.
Steve, I had the Ninja Turtle Trolls.
That's real stupid.
That's real dumb.
That's real dumb now.
Yep. So I loved the Turtles, and I loved the TV show, which, by the way, is terrible and it's beyond saving. but I loved the TV show when I was a child. I loved the movies, and just this past decade, I want to say, it's just been terrible turtle stuff.
Terrible turtles.
Terrible turtle stuff after another. To be fair, I did watch TMNT, which is the animated one, five-ish years ago, I want to say. Wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But it was such a weak release that it kind of killed
that
reboot. And now this new reboot did so terribly. I want another reboot.
My concern is because it is so nostalgic,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they can do anything to really wow you.
Here's what would wow me. And I'm not the first person to suggest this by any means, but the original comic series was so dark and gritty. I just want to see, it was super dark and gritty. Yeah. And I want to see like a TV series or even a movie, maybe a Netflix movie, of that. Seeing that. Me, as an almost 30-year-old person talking about poop shoots, would appreciate that a lot more than a 10-year-old me talking about poop shoots.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I feel like with all these things I was thinking about to have rebooted, my initial thought, I was like, yeah, make it dark and gritty.
Yeah, I know.
Like, no matter what, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's do a Care Bear reboot. Dark and gritty.
Teletubbies reboot. Yeah.
Barney the Dinosaur. Tell me the story, the real story.
Bebop's addicted to cocaine.
He beats his wife. Struggles with, you know, childhood obesity. What? That's not even that dark and gritty. Sure it is.
Yeah.
Because he also shoots a kid. What? What? Yeah, I'm talking dark and gritty.
Whoa, dude. Wow.
I know, but that was essentially my first response to any sort of reboot. I'm like, yeah, make it dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to say, yeah. Yeah. You know, like a creep.
My Little Pony reboot.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
no.
No. God, no.
God, because I am not a brony.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what a dark My Little Pony thing, it is beyond what I'm capable of thinking of. And I'm a dark dude.
Yeah. So that's my number two. A reboot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, possibly dark and gritty. Yeah. But maybe not. Just something fun, something cool, something I'd like to see.
All right. My number one is a little bit of a twofer.
Okay.
Because they're
kind of cheating, but all right.
Essentially the same. It is kind of a cheat,
mm-hmm.
but they're so closely entwined
okay.
that it's basically the same thing. It is, I want to see, this is a guilty pleasure movie for me. I want to see a reboot of The Running Man slash a reboot of the game Smash TV.
Okay.
Because it's essentially the same thing.
Sure.
And Smash TV, I'll say Smash TV first. It's, for those who have not played it, it's a Genesis slash Super Nintendo game. Just like The Running Man, it's, you're in this futuristic world where it's like, you go in, you kill all these dudes coming at you while the audience watches and you take prize money home sort of deal. Think kind of Contra-esque, kind of, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unlimited ammo, but, like, instead of just shooting forward on the screen, you shoot up, down, left, right, in a square, sort of, like, a square playing area. Then you move to the next area, another square. Just, like, it's a real arcade kind of game that, like, you get the power-ups and it powers up your gun and stuff. It's just a fun kind of shoot-em game. But I think that could be turned into a really cool full-fledged game on the next-gen systems. But that's a secondary thing to The Running Man.
Because mm-hmm.
if you haven't seen The Running Man, it is just a quintessential 80s action movie. It's ridiculous plotline, the most ridiculous Arnold lines you can think of. And it's basically futuristic world. Prisoners get sent into this TV show that is, think like American Gladiators, but in like an urban area with real weapons. Sort mm-hmm. of like over-the-top weapons. Like, I'm Electro, and I can shoot lightning bolts. You know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun. It's so ridiculous that, like, modern day, like, if you don't take it as this, like, super serious action movie, it's just a fun popcorn movie, I would watch the shit out of that movie. Certainly no Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
None of it. Certainly no romantic subplot. Get out of here.
God, no.
Don't have time for it.
Mm-mm.
Not interested.
Got killing to do.
Got killings to do, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I would cast as my main lead.
Obviously Bradley Cooper.
Excuse me. All leads go to Bradley Cooper. Actually, you know what? I'll go 2 for 2. Give me Batista.
Yeah!
Give me Batista in this role.
Excuse us. All leads now go to Batista.
Thank you. How long do we have to wait for another Batista-Bradley Cooper joint? Man. So give me The Running. And this is a serious Steve recommendation. If you're looking to get some popcorn movies in your life, and just have a good time, get a couple friends over, have a couple of beers, put on The Running Man.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is great.
Is that shit on Netflix?
I don't think so.
But
you know what? I have 2 copies of it on DVD for some reason.
Do you really?
I really do.
Can I borrow one?
No, because
great.
I'm putting an offer out. If somebody sends me their address, I will mail them The Running Man. It's just on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But with the caveat, I will mail you The Running Man. On the caveat, you return it to me, and then you have to give me a little a little movie review of The Running Man. Just be like, what you like or what you hated, you have to write it in, and you have to send it back. Otherwise, I'll just be sad.
That's right. So that,
but that's a serious offer. That is a 100% legit offer.
Email us at 5playnet@gmail.com with your mailing address.
First come, first serve. I will send it out to you. You send it back to me. Got to get a review from it.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, that brings me to my number one. It's very closely tied to one of your earlier ones. It's Resident Evil, the game series.
You do realize they just did this, right?
What?
They just re-released the remastered.
That's remastered. I want this rebooted.
But it's the okay, all right. It's what this is.
No, I know what you're thinking of. It's just the same game, but remastered.
No. It's teetering on the edge. Okay. They didn't just. It's not like the God of War HD collection where they just put it on PS3 and sharpen the graphics slightly.
Yeah,
they added new things slightly to it as well. It
looks like they took the GameCube version and just basically put it.
Okay, so we have to. Okay, just making sure we're talking about the same thing.
But that's not.
What do you want, Wes?
That's remaking it. I want it rebooted. You talked about it about the film series. This game series got. What was the phrase you used earlier? Off the skids? Skidding out?
Hit the skids.
Hit the skids.
Hit the skids.
Down the poop chute.
Down the old poop chute.
I think might have been right around when the first couple movies started coming out. They started getting more action heavy.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I don't know the timeline. Mm-hmm. I know 1 and 2 were great. 3, yeah. 4, phenomenal. And then you can suck it from there.
5, it ended in a volcano. So I want this shit rebooted. Made the same storylines. The same basic storylines, of course. The evil Umbrella Corporation. But let's step away from the mansion. Let's step away from Raccoon City.
Okay, all right.
Let's do some other stories here. It doesn't have to center around Chris Redfield and Jill Valentine and Claire Redfield. And
Leon Washington.
Thank God. I was like, I don't know, that other muscular dude.
With the bowl cut.
That's right. Let's see some other shit, man. It doesn't have to always be them. Albert Wesker, how many times is he going to be the villain? And how many times are we going to be, quote-unquote, surprised by it?
Right.
Let's see some other things. Let's reboot this shit. Let's see some other things.
You know what? And I almost feel like that's... I think they almost tried to do that with 5. Because, I mean, you're in Africa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they did it so poorly.
So poorly.
So poorly. Because Chris Redfield was just a giant hulking mass of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were saying, it was an action game. It was not a, like, at no point was like, oh my God, I'm so scared of these dudes.
Yeah. It was just you running around gunning down, well, people from Africa.
This is not some sort of weird interpretation. Literally, you run around and gun down Africans. That's
what you do.
That's what you
in
do.
This game.
That's not some sort of editorial comment.
Yeah.
That's factually what you do.
And they try to make it okay because your partner is from Africa?
Your white partner? Well,
she's African.
Excuse me. Your African partner.
Yes. What's her name?
Well, I'm so used to Jill Valentine being like, or Claire Redfield, the partner.
The whitest names you know.
Yep. So what would be your setting for your survival horror game in Resident Evil The Reboot?
See, I like the idea of an enclosed space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I like the idea of non-cops in the apocalypse. So I don't know if I just want it set like in a school, something large enough to have
for some exploration.
To have most of a game in, or a hospital. Or, I mean, how many, I say that, but like, how many freaking scary hospitals have there been in games?
True.
But yeah, something like that.
But you know what, for every idea that has been done before, if you do it well, it doesn't matter if it has been done before.
I don't know, maybe like something like in a subdivision with just like a circle of houses and they're...
A little like cul-de-sac kind of thing?
Yeah, but it's like set apart from the rest of the town or something, and then the zombies show up there. I don't know.
Almost where you have to, like, you're almost like a suburban house mother.
Yeah, yeah, suburban housewife, or like an 18-year-old about to leave for college or something like that.
Sure. You like go check. You have to like get out of your house, go check with the neighbors, and
yeah.
Like then you're like, oh no, the only safe place is, you know, downtown, like in the, you know, town center ish area where like,
sure,
something
like
that. Like a small town.
That's even better. A small town like where I grew up, which is just a town of 3,500 people surrounded by cornfields.
Oh,
can you imagine
no.
the isolation
you know
there?
Nope. Yep. No, I cannot. I refuse.
Yes, let's do that.
Nope. Bye.
I love it.
So, Wes, give me your top five in review.
My top five in review was... let me pull it out really fast. My number five was... my number five was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. My number four was Point Pleasant. My number three was Earthworm Jim. My number two is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. My number one was Resident Evil, the video game series.
My number five, Terminator, sans Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Thank God.
Number four, Rambo, First Blood. Number three, RoboCop, the reboot of the reboot. Number two, the Resident Evil movie series.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing for me would be The Running Man, with a little nod to Smash TV.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, we can't say this enough. We love hearing what you guys have to say. So please write us in your dream reboots. You can write us in. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can shoot back on over to 5play.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
And you can use that email address to be the first one in on me mailing you a copy of The Running Man on DVD, so you can watch it and give us a full report and send it back so I can send it out again.
That's correct.
I'm telling you, man, I want to be a facilitator of my love for The Running Man.
Steve, your whole life has come to this.
I'm almost 30, people. I need something. So thank you guys so much for writing in, as Wes said. We love it. We love to hear from you guys. And we're going to be back next week with a brand spanking new top five. We had our little holiday hiatus, you know, Christmas, New Year's, all that. But we're back week to week. We are here for you.
That's right.
And we will see you next week. But until then, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out.